If the enemy had his way, you wouldn't be here. Any one of God's children that fails, that falls, and is wiped out, God wiped out because they did not keep the joy of the Lord, which is their strength. And that's a decision. Just like love is a decision, joy becomes a decision. I'm going to praise the Lord. Even though he slays me, yet will I what?
Praise him.
So rather, I give up. I'm not going to do this anymore.
For you hurt me.
The Lord asked his disciples to minister. Why are you guys still here? And you guys go with the rest of us.
Where else are we going to go? You have the word of life. Where else am I going to go? The worst day in you is better than the best day anywhere else. This is where I am. This is where I'm staying. I give you praise. Hallelujah. I don't know whether we consider it much. Why are we Christians? Why are we in church? Why do we serve God? Is this just something that we do? Is there a purpose behind it? Well, there are people that go to different temples. The Hindus that go to their temple. The Muslims that go to their temple. There are Buddhists that go to their temple. All of these people pray. What makes us different? What makes what we do more meaningful? You know, interesting enough, when it comes to commitment, the Hindus are more committed than Christians. We're so casual with our faith. The Buddhist, the Muslim. So we must ask ourselves this question. Why are we doing what we're doing? The Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslim, they give extravagantly. But we say, our God is the real God. But so many times we don't act like it. So we must ask ourselves, why is that so? Because ultimately, our connection to the God we believe determines our stability. Until you and I are resolute about what we believe and why we believe it, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond believing, knowing, we remain suspect. And whatever it is that we do is so temporal. The believer, the one who knows God, has to look beyond this natural and has to put God in a place of priority. If his life or her life is going to be impacted sovereignly by the power of God, and if he or she is able to impact the next generation. Every day, you and I teach something. Not just by our sayings, but by our actions. Yeah? By our actions.
For example, if by my actions and by the importance I place on the things of God, I display a disparity between what I am saying I believe by the actions I take, those around me will not go by what I say, they'll go by my actions. Yes? We can accept that? So, if I say God is number one, God is the ultimate, He is number one in my life, and my children see me acting in a way that is not displaying that, because every other thing comes before God. Then it's not what I said, it's how I'm acting. We will accept that. If I am able to get to my job promptly, and it's time to go to school, and we're prompt about that, and it's time to get to whatever, and we're prompt about that, but when it comes to the house of God, we are not prompt. My display by my action is the job is more important, school is more important, but God, not so much. Will we accept that? Is that true? We agree? So, actions more than words. You say, Pastor, where are you going today? I am coming to one particular point that I believe the Lord wants me to hone in on. While words are important, and words can be actions too, most of our repentance, and this is a time to repent and reflect, is a reflection on the actions I'm taking. I need to reflect, go back to my actions and say, okay, this that I do, in what way is it declaring that God is more important, that the kingdom of God is more important than this world? Because if I reflect on that, it's going to be reflected and manifested in every single detail of my life. And in those areas where it's not lining up, that's the area that God wants me to zero in and say, you spirit of darkness, you are not going to have reign in my life. Get out of here. I am going to push on this word of God until this particular area of my life is corrected. And I'm displaying the importance of God in this area, that He is sovereign and He reigns supremely in my life. Now, you may be strong in one area and be totally off in another area. We're not talking about the areas where you're doing okay. We're talking about those areas where you're not in line in the displaying of the will of God in your life. Are we together so far? We just celebrated the Feast of Trumpets of Rosh Hashanah, the God's New Year. And between that time and the next feast of Yom Kippur, and you may put the poster of Yom Kippur on the screen. Are 10 days, 10 days of awe, the 10 days of reflecting on who God is in our lives and who we are in relationship with God. They are the 10 days of repentance. Now, there are preachers out there that preach that Christians don't have anything to repent about. They're filled with lies. We have to repent because God has commanded us to walk in holiness before Him, separated unto Him, not just for our benefit. The Word of God says in the book of Hebrews, it says, so that we can help those that are lame, those that are restricted, those that are not operating in the fullness of what God has available for them. So in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, we read these words. Hebrews 12. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There is a race set before every one of us. And every one of us need to run our race. Stop looking at other people. You need to focus on yourself. So many people are busy focused on what other people are doing. This person is doing right or doing wrong and so on and so forth. God wants you to focus on yourself. You've got a race. If you are running and you're busy looking at the other person and this person over here, you're going to lose the race. God has not called us to lose. He's called us to win. Hallelujah. But it says, there are witnesses, there are people in the bleachers, those that have died and gone, that are in the presence of the Lord. They are cheering us on. They're saying, go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it. And these witnesses are there. And they're saying, since we've got these witnesses, let's lay aside every weight. When I go to the doctor's office for a checkup, I make sure my keys and everything is off because I want the real weight. Hallelujah. It says, lay aside every weight. You can't run this race of God attached to so many things. In so many ways, we are attached to stuff. Things are so important. And so that's our focus. Whether the weight is friends, relationships, the job, whatever it is that is consuming my attention so that Christ is no longer number one. Just put that aside. And put aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. Some things that you trip over, over and over and over again. It says, deal with that too. And then run with patience. Run with patience the race that is set before you. How? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Says, I want you to hone in on Jesus. Just look at him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's your example. For he's the one, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. So what's the word of God saying to us? He's saying, hey, you're a believer, there are going to be hard times, there are going to be tough times, there are going to be times of sacrifice, challenging times. He says, Jesus looked, he endured the shame of the cross, the pain of the cross. He despised the shame. And because he did that, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He says, if you don't focus on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, who endured the shame and the cross and all of that, he says, if you don't do that, you are going to get weary and you're going to faint. He says, in your mind. Children of God fail because they've not put Jesus as the focus of their lives. We fall apart because the battles that we face are battles that attack the mind. I and you, every one of us, nobody is exempt. Need to reflect on who Jesus is, what he means to you, and recognize that this life is temporal. This is temporal. This is not it. And my highest effort and energy needs to be on how I continue with God. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Whatever it is that I'm pursuing after, it's going to be added. The finances, the houses, the cars, the shelter, the food, all of that is going to be added. But I need to first and foremost have in the centrality of my life, in the core of my being, a focus on Jesus and the kingdom of God. Any other thing is a waste of time. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So what are we repenting about? We're repenting about the fact that many times we have placed God in the back seat and sometimes way back in the caboose. And we need to come back and reflect and say, wait a minute. Is this what God is calling me to do? Is this it? As we are growing gracefully in age in God, hallelujah, I have begun to see more often people that I know died. The question I ask myself is, in your death, where was Christ? I know what I see on the surface, but really in your heart, as he sees you, what does he see? What does God see? primary, what God wants to see is where in importance am I? What is the first commandment? You don't know? You know, all of the 10 is boiled down to 2. You're going to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, your mind, your strength, and all of that. Yeah? And the second is like the first. But when God gave the commandments in the very beginning, in the book of Exodus, what did he say? You shall what? Have no other gods before me. If you have any other god before him, then you love that more than you love him. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, what's that? It means, number one, have a God before him that you follow. But it also means that you don't show any other God in front of him. Don't place another God before me. For there are no gods. They don't compare with me. But why do I make my finances and the pursuit of it more important than God? So I do that. Yeah, we do that in all kinds of ways, especially when we do not honor God first when it comes to giving. We honor the city, pay our bills. You honor hydro, you honor your car payment, you honor your clothing, your looks, whatever it is that you spend your money on. And then God comes around way back somewhere. If I have something left, then God, you can have some of it. You can have the change. Huh? That's not prioritizing God. Prioritizing God says, I start with God before anything else. When I go and I make a deposit, I make certain, very consciously, before any dime leaves here, I'm going to take God's and set it aside. Then we can talk about the rest. And if the rest is not enough, then God, you said that you will meet all of my needs according to your riches in glory. So I need a breakthrough here. So when I go out there, and something's supposed to cost $100, you can give it to me for $50. Praise the Lord. When I put the gas in the gas tank, it's supposed to take me 100 kilometers, but it took me 200 kilometers. So I'm not frequenting the gas station. I'm not frequenting the mechanic. I'm not frequenting this has to be fixed over here and that has to be fixed over here because I have placed God first. Now God can rebuke the devourer for my sake. Is that making sense to somebody? Prioritizing God saves me from being weary and fainting, overwhelmed. It brings me to the place where I'm reminded that I'm in a covenant relationship with God. God has cut a covenant. He knows that in my own strength and my own ability, I cannot fulfill and do the things that I really would like to do. So he comes and he abides in me to help me. He redeems me to infuse me with his power and his capacity. When we started the Rosh Hashanah meetings, our main text came from Psalm 119, verse 49. I'll encourage you to read as much of that chapter as you can. It's the longest chapter in the Word of God, in the Bible. So it will take you some time. But this is what the Word of God says. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. You said, if I seek first your kingdom, every other thing shall be added unto me. And when I find myself in a place where it looks like it's not all added unto me, I can come back and say, remember your word to me. I'm in covenant relationship with you. Remember your word to me. I'm your servant. I'm your son. I'm your child, oh God. Remember your word with which you have caused me to stay in hope. And your word, oh God, says, my hope shall not be disappointed. God, I come to you. Remember your word. Father, remember your word. This is what you said to me. In Psalm 105, when I have a repentant heart before God and in his indwelling and helping, Psalm 105 says, starting to read from verse 8, he says, he hath remembered his covenant forever. God doesn't forget. He says, remembered his covenant. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. To 1,000 generations. The commanded word. His covenant. He remembers it. He made a covenant with Abraham, and he had an oath unto Isaac. Why is that? The God who remembers the covenant he made with Abraham made an oath unto Isaac. See what I said to your father? I'm telling you, I'm going to do it. I swear to you, it's going to happen. He says, he goes on, he says, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law. He goes on to Jacob, the next generation, he says, it's a law. It says, unto Israel, who is also Jacob, for an everlasting covenant. The same covenant he made to Abraham, he made on. And that same everlasting covenant is so great that when Jesus, our Lord, came, he did not come with another different covenant. He attached us to the covenant he made with Abraham. Says, this is such a good deal. I can't even top it. Oh my God. Because the full essence of myself was in that covenant. He asked Abraham for the covenant. He's going to cut a covenant with Abraham and split this animal in two. Naturally, those two that are making the covenant were to walk in between those parted animals. And by so doing, we're saying, listen, if I don't keep this covenant, see, like these animals are dead here, you dead meat. So, God, when it's time to cut that covenant, he puts Abraham to sleep. And he goes in between those animals by himself. And he was saying, I tell you what, I'm keeping this covenant for me and for you. If I don't do this part that I said I'm going to do, woe to me. The word that is supposed to be on you, I take. And I'm promising you, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. The lot of your inheritance, everything that belongs to you, I'm bringing to you. I am the God of covenant. I remember this covenant for 1,000 generations, and there's nothing that's going to stop my will from being performed in your life. But the thing about God is this, he cannot force you against your will. The only thing he wants on your part is to show you the dream of his promise. Because when he put Abraham to sleep, Abraham saw darkness, and God told him that the people of Israel were going to be out there in exile, enslaved for 400 years. But they're going to come out of it. They're going to come out of it. You're going to have tough times, but you're going to come out of it because my promise is going to be fulfilled. There's going to be a fulfillment of my word, and then I'm going to bring you back to this land. I promise you, your lot of inheritance is yours. I'm going to raise you up. Hallelujah. And he made this promise to them, the Bible says, when they were but a few men in number. Yea, very few. And strangers in it. So he made a promise. God's promise to you and I is not based on all the strength that we've got. It's based on all the strength that he has. He said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell, the government of hell, will not prevail over this church. And the people he was speaking to were going to deny him when he went to the cross. Twelve of them, one betrayed him. They all ran every which way. The only one that hung around John was a family member with the people that were busy operating and trying to kill Jesus. Did he fulfill his word? Today you and I are here. Few they might have been. He preached one message and thousands leave him. And he says to the 12, what are you guys still doing here? And why aren't you guys gone? Where are we going to go? You've got the words of life. You're it. Where are we going to go? It's okay. God has not given us the spirit of fear, as Mama shared with us a moment ago, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound, mature, disciplined mind. You may be wondering, Pastor, where are we going with this? He first of all told us about repentance, and then you're telling us about God is a covenant-keeping God, and that he goes through the split animal all by himself, and God is relying on himself, not on me. So what am I repenting about? Repenting in this wise. Repentance is not about just turning away from our wicked ways. Repentance is also about replatforming us. This makes more sense in our English language. You know what a penthouse is? It is the top of the building. Yes? To repent is to bring you back to the highest level. So, what highest level? The mind of Christ. Repentance is about coming to the place where we have the mind of Christ. A mind that does not embrace failure, does not think failure, does not think quitting, does not prioritize anything else, but the mind that seeks to serve the Father, to worship God in spirit and in truth. The Word of God says that's the person that the Spirit of God seeks after. Praise God. God wants to locate you and I and help us fulfill our divine mandate. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's so much more to talk about in Psalm 105, but let me go to Leviticus 26 and verse 40. Leviticus 26 and verse 40. In Leviticus 26, 40, it says, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespass against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them unto the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, will I remember, and I will remember the land. What land? He was talking about Canaan. He said, I'm going to give you the promised land. He says, but this is also true. You have to repent. Hello? You have to repent for your sins and the sins of your fathers. He says, then I'm going to remember. It's not that he forgot. He says, then I'm going to pay attention and manifest. That's what he's talking about. And God wants to tabernacle with us, his people. He wants to do something new, something fresh. He wants to bring us to an experience where we are experiencing his Sabbaths. we may find ourselves sometimes as believers in a very tight spot. Paul says, the things I want to do, I'm not doing. And the things I don't want to do, I'm busy doing. Who's going to deliver me from all of this miserable life? That's in Romans 7. He's bemoaning his experience, the struggles that he's going through. And then he comes to chapter 8, because in chapter 7, all he was talking about was I. But then comes to chapter 8 and says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We walk after the Word of God. And in chapter 8, all he talks about is about the Spirit. And says, there's a Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. And that Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, God is saying, I'm giving you the capacity by my Spirit to live victoriously. We can live the Christian life based on God's ability working in us and through us. And how do we live it? By just simply obeying, following the instruction, taking it one step at a time. God, in this area, I'm not giving you priority. I'm going to try. I want to do that. Holy Spirit, help me. And you try. And you do it today. And then you do it tomorrow. You're beginning to change directions. Or maybe you trip. You get back up and say, that's not what I'm doing. I'm going to do it this way. I'm putting God number one. 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 In my finances, God number one. In my studies, my prayer time, as I start the day, God number one, God number one, God number one. It's a challenge. As simple as something like my cell phone or your cell phone can be the challenge, because most people, the first thing they do in the morning, most people, the first thing they do in the morning is not thank you, Jesus, for a new day. First thing they do is they grab their phone. You don't. It's far away from you. That's the best way to do it. But if it's close to you, that's the first place most people go to. What's the news? What happened that night when I was sleeping? Who died? Who got shot? What did Trump do today? What are the Democrats doing today? What did Kanye say today? And our attention is drawn away from God. But God says, I'm going to give you the capacity to correct that. I'm going to give you the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to correct what you need to correct so that I'm one, number one in your life. Your day starts with me. It ends with me. My peace garrisons your heart. It's time to reflect, folks, so we can repent. You know what area of your life needs to be examined. So you can cry out to God and say, God, I need help. In Isaiah 49, The word of God says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? I was speaking somewhere last night, leading in prayer. And this particular passage was burning in my spirit. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? The mighty being the enemy, the prey being you and I, or whoever. It says, is it possible to take the prey from the mighty one? Is it possible to deliver the one that's a lawful captive? You've done wrong, you're found guilty. God knows it, the devil knows it, and you know it. That your goose is cooked. He said, can you be delivered? You walked into this mess with your eyes wide open. He said, can you still be delivered? But thus said the Lord, even those that have been captured physically, emotionally, spiritually, captured, captives of the mighty shall be taken away. This is the commitment of God. The enemy shall not have you, shall not have me. He says, I'm going to take away those lawful captives. And the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee. I'm going to fight against that which is fighting against you. That thing that is limiting you, that is saying to you, you are not going to make it. He says, I'm telling that thing to shut up because you don't belong to them. You belong to me. I'm going to take you out of this place of imprisonment. That is the hope that we rely on, that God will do extraordinary things with our lives and turn our lives around for his glory and honor. I went to hell with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to hell anymore. I am going up higher in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The deliverance of God is established in my life. He has made me the victor and not the victim. He says, I'm going to contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. I said, Lord, what is this about? I will save thy children. He said, because the sin of the fathers flow down as iniquity into the lives of their children. The mess up of the fathers flow down. He says, I'm not only going to save you, I'm going to save your children that have been messed up by your actions. Today I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that whatever it is that my father did that was wrong, that's held me in captivity, that I'm free from it, he is free from it, and my children are free from it. We are all free indeed, for the truth of God has set us free. Jesus Christ, our loving God, has walked between the sacrifice all by himself, and he's burning through it as a consuming fire, and he's burning away every limitation from our lives. You and you and you and you and you and your children shall be saved. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Not one of my children shall be lost. None of your children shall be lost. None of my children's children shall be lost. None of my children's children shall be lost. Everybody's covered. Hallelujah. But it starts with me walking in obedience with God. He says, you need to do that. He says, I'm going to chastise you because you're a son and not a bastard. I'm going to chastise you. I'm going to work on you and bring you into the exercise of faith so that you walk in righteousness and holiness, so that those that are lame, crippled, because no lame one is supposed to come anywhere near me. He says, but because of you, you'll have the strength to deliver the lame. Hallelujah. Rise with me. Say, Lord, I repent. I repent. Help me to experience supernatural change and to place you in the highest place in my life. Today, Lord, I pull upon your word. Let your word, O God, sanctify my life. Bring about supernatural change. Lord, help me to be strong in you, O Lord, and in the power of your might. Father, use me, O God, by your grace, that I may be a vessel of honor that will bring transformation into the lives of others. Heal me of my lameness so I can bring healing to those that are lame. Bless me to make me a blessing. I place my trust in you, my Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Once again, it's a joy to share the word of God with you. At this time, we're going to honor God. We're going to honor God with all that we are. Honor God with our resources. Faithful. Obeying God as we give unto Him, placing Him as number one. If you want God to place you as number one, you got to place Him as number one. It's as simple as that. Hallelujah. Just come and honor God with your giving. Give in faith. Trust Him. If you don't have your communion elements, just raise your hand and you'll be saved. I see a hand over there. We're going to share in communion together. Please let those in the Christian Education Department know that it's time for communion. They can come. All the way to Calvary, He went for me. He went for me. He went for me all the way to Calvary. He went for me, and now He sets me free. I love that man of Galilee, for He has done so very much for me. He has forgiven me all my sins and gives Holy Spirit to me. I love that man of Galilee. I love that man of Galilee. Man, I love.
rocking it. Praise the Lord.
Oh. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
This is the body of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's broken for our redemption and our deliverance. In a few days from now, we'll be celebrating the Feast of Atonement called Yom Kippur. It is represented here by the body of the Lord. Today, as we take of this body, let everything that the Father had on his mind be manifested in us. Not only for the salvation of our souls, the sanctification of our spirits unto him, but also the healing of our bodies from every ailment. Take of this body and eat and be healed. In Jesus' name.
Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For your precious blood.
For your precious blood.
Thank you for your covenant.
Thank you for your covenant.
That you've cut with me.
That's cut.
And my family.
For my family.
Forever.
Forever.
I receive. The power.
The power.
Of the working blood of Jesus.
The working blood of Jesus.
Take and drink.
Say with me, Father.
Father,
I humble myself before you.
I humble myself before you.
Remember.
Remember.
Your covenant.
Your covenant.
And deliver my soul.
And deliver my soul.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I ask it.
I ask it.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Our grandson and granddaughter, the youngest of them, they're both celebrating their birthdays.
Honoria and Ayana.
Yes. And so we celebrate them.
Happy oh, yeah, birthday.
He's waiting. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Amen. Thank God. To think that we have great grandchildren now.
Jesus is Lord.
Wow. We came here, just the two of us, and maybe Andrew in the tummy.
I hope this is not going to make the service longer now.
No.
So praise the Lord.
But
we have a party to go to.
God has been good.
Amen.
We have much to celebrate God's
Amen.
Goodness. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
God is good.
Thank God for all your families, grandparents, and